Bibles, we're going to be talking about a word. And as I was praying this week, the Lord just impressed the word though on me. Though. Also known as although. You know, if you ever used that word though or although in a sentence, you might say, well, I'm feeling bad, although I don't feel as bad as I did yesterday or something. You see what I'm saying? It's one of those conjunction words. And so we're going to look at that word in light of the scripture this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and we ask that you bless our time together. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The word, though, is a conjunction. It means despite the fact. And also, like I said, it can be phrased although. Despite the fact that. Despite the fact that. The house Eddie's family wanted sold, God was still in it, despite the fact. Although, you hear what I'm saying? God has a plan in spite of, despite the fact that circumstances may say otherwise. So I'm glad this morning that I do not live my life based on the circumstances that surround me, although sometimes they get to me. And I think if as a challenge to all of us, if we just, let's just say the word though together. Though. Let's say it again. Though. One more time. Though. Now let's say despite the fact. Despite the fact. One more time. Despite the fact. Now this week when you face challenges, and you probably will, look them in the eye and say, well, despite that fact, God is still on the throne. Amen? So let's look at some scriptures with the word though in it. This is from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 13. She says, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for that you have, or thou hast, comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly to your handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And so here, Ruth is telling us that she's not as pretty as the other girls. She doesn't have all of the features that the others have, but she's found favor. Amen. Aren't you glad that you may not be the smartest, the most intelligent, the prettiest? You may not even know the Bible as well as other people, although, in spite of the fact, God looks at you and says, I love you just the way you are. I want you to be my bridesmaid. Amen. Aren't you glad that God chose us to be his bridesmaid, even though we may not be the person who has it all together? Praise the Lord. This is from Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, I don't know, maybe none of you guys have ever felt this way. But I felt like at times, Lord, you know, I keep blowing it. I keep trying to do this, and I don't always do it right. You know, and I just, you ought to just kill me and get it over with, because I just, big disappointment to you. And so, you know, maybe we even deserve it at times. Maybe we say something we should. Maybe we offend someone. Maybe we're trying to lead someone to the Lord, and they see us do something, and they're, oh, you hypocrite, you know, you're not that spiritual. And we just want to crawl under a rock and die. But you know what? Though he would even slay us, yet we trust him. And so, you know, in spite of the fact that I don't always do it right, my trust is in the grace of God and not in what I do. Amen? My trust is in the blood of Jesus, though I may deserve to be just killed by God's holiness, My trust is not in me. My trust is in him. Hallelujah. And I'm glad, because that's what Job, you know, Job, he didn't understand the circumstances he was going through. He's got boils all over him. He's scraping them with pottery. He's lost his possessions. He's lost his family. He's lost his health. And he's like, well, you know, the only thing left is for God to kill me. And if he does that, even then, I'm going to trust him. It may not make sense what I'm going through. It may be confusing. God's goodness seems a million miles away based on my circumstance. But in spite of the fact, I'm going to trust him. In spite of my circumstances, I'm going to trust him. In spite of the way I feel physically and emotionally, I'm going to trust him. Have you ever had people say, well, you know, I thought you said you trust God. Look at the situation you're in. You know what? My situation has nothing to do with God's goodness. It has nothing to do with God's goodness. And even if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Woo, come on, church. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at the Psalm. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. And we remember this verse all the time, except when we're in the valley. Right? I mean, we can remember it on Sunday morning. We can quote it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I, in spite of the fact that I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Man, that sounds like we need sound effects there. Though I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Death, 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 death. Right? Okay. You get the idea. It's a dark place. It's a gloomy place. It's a place that is devoid of the feelings of God. It's a place where I pray and my prayers hit the ceiling. It's a place where my finances are in havoc. My marriage is in havoc. My health is in havoc. I am in the valley of the shadow of death. Though I am, I will fear no evil. How can you do that? Not by the grace, but by the grace of God. And how do I fear no evil? For God is with me. I said, God is with me. David said, if I climb to the highest mountain, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Aren't you glad Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and that you're in the palm of my hand, and you can never be snatched out of the palm of my hand. Woo, come on. Did you know that Jesus has a tattoo and an engraving? You know, most of us say, well, you know, you're not supposed to engrave your body. Don't puncture it. The Old Testament says don't have tattoos. But the Bible says Jesus has a name on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we are engraved in his hand. I kind of wonder if when they were nailing those nails through his hand, as the metal was ripping the skin, if we could get down to the microscopic level, it was ripping my name and your name all in those wounds. Because our name is engraved in the palm of his hands. And though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't need to fear because he's with me. I said he is with me. I said the Lord is with me in everything I do. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He is forever with us, and he never leaves us. Glory to God. Now, I like this because he doesn't say, I might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death someday. No, he didn't say it. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, God didn't promise us that we'd never walk through a valley. I think that's a good place for an AM. God, amen. God never promised us we wouldn't walk through a valley. We will walk through valleys. We will have valleys in our life. We will have dark days. We will have depressing days. We will have discouraging days. And those are the days that are hard to feel like God is with us. And our emotions may say God is not with us. Our emotions may say, God has abandoned you. Our emotions may say, why are you even praying? God's not hearing you. But I'm glad the psalmist used that word we're talking about, though, in spite of the fact, in spite of my emotions, in spite of my feelings, in spite of all these things, I know that I know that I know that God is with me, and I'm going to be all right. He said he'd never leave me and never forsake me. Come on, church. I'm getting excited about this. These are good words. I mean, one word, though, one word in spite of the fact. God, help us to live in that in spite of the fact way. Help our faith to rise to the level that in spite of all our circumstances, we know that we know that we know that God has got this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moving on a few verses later in Psalm 73. Though a host should encamp against me. Now, I don't know. I've never had a host encamp against me. And I may never have a host encamp against me. I mean, back in David's days, that was something that would happen. Philistines come up, and next thing you know, you're surrounded. We remember the story of Elisha. Was it Elisha or Elijah? Sometimes you get, I think it was Elisha. Where the whole Syrian army was around them. Yeah. And so they had hosts around them, but we may never have hosts around them. But we certainly have demons around us, don't we? We have the imps of Satan, the imps of hell come around us, and they can make us feel like a host of army is around us. They can make us feel like we're cut off, trapped, there's no way out. And the psalmist says, though that happen, my heart shall not fear. See, that's where it comes from. It comes from the heart. The heart is the innermost being of a man. And though our intellect often gets in the way, fear comes from the heart. But guess what? So does faith. Faith down deep on the inside. And so here is the man of faith that says, though this is happening, though I am surrounded, though I'm cut off, though it seems like there's no way out, my heart shall not fear. And then there's a second one. Though war should rise against me. Now, you know what? I think, you know, we look at all these empty chairs at church, and sometimes even for a pastor it gets discouraging. But all it's going to take is a war. And all these people, because of fear, are going to be coming in these doors. Our doors, other church doors. And they're going to be looking for something that they can hold on to. And if we are just as scared as them, they're not going to hang around here. They're going to say, well, they're just as scared as me. This Jesus thing must not work. So we need to make sure that it works, amen? Because if it works for us, it'll work for them. And they'll say, I want what he's got. I mean, look at that man. He's not moved. Look at that woman. She's not shaken. There was a bomb that went off 50 miles from here. There's terrorist implants all over the nation. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Woo! No, I'm not scared. God's got this. I said, God's got this. Oh, glory to God. This is, you know, remember? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hang on just a second. What is it, Lord? Okay, got you. I'm trying to remember the passage. It was Elijah, and it was the famine. And they were boiling donkey's heads. And he said, I hear the sound of abundant rain. I hear the sound of abundant rain. Famine, no rain. Boiling donkey heads. That's a circumstance. That's something that we have to face. Amen. And here the man of God, he says, I hear the sound of abundant rain. You see, that's the difference between the people who fear and the people who have faith. And the word though there, though this is happening, I hear the sound of abundant rain. And when the people come in, if war should break out, and the church fills up with people who are scared and are looking for an answer, our answer is, I hear the sound of abundant rain. I hear the sound of peace that passes understanding. I hear the sound of victory. I hear the sound of joy. I hear the sound of praise because the God we serve is bigger than the enemy. Amen. He's bigger than anything the devil can throw at us. And though a war would break out, in this I will be confident. Though a host encamp about me, in a host encamp about me, my heart will not fear. Glory to God. Amen. Now, here's another psalm for you. Psalm 46, 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Well, don't you understand? These bombs went off and the earth has actually been moved out of its orbit. As actually, the Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to reel to and fro like a drunk man, Isaiah wrote, right? So we know in the last days this is going to happen. Though the earth, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Well, that's also going to happen. This is not a fictitious thing. This is not a hypothetical thing. This is going to happen. There's going to come a day during the tribulation where every mountain will be leveled and every island will disappear, Revelation says, right? And so this is not just something that is poetic. This is going to happen coming to a city near you. And though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, what's that, a hurricane? We know that has just happened. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, right? So he's got all these those, and then I just wanted to jump down to the last verse of that chapter. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. You know, we could go down a whole grocery list of those. Have you ever met people who are so negative, you try to tell them something, yeah, but what if this happens? That's true, but then what if that happens? Okay, well, maybe that'll be okay, but what about that? What are you going to say about that? Well, I'll tell you what I say. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is my refuge. The Lord is with me, and he's with me, and he's my refuge. The God of Jacob is my... This is not just the God of this guy or that guy. That's the God of Jacob. You know, Israel, that was almost extinct and came back in the last days and is living in their land. The proof that we are living in the last days. That God, the God of that nation, the God of Jacob, he's with me, and I'm not going to be afraid. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 68:13. Though you have a lean among the pots, though you have lean among the pots, what's that mean? Got no money, got no food, right? Yet, now, this could have a double meaning here. What does a pot mean in the New Testament? Earthen vessel, right? Earthen vessel. It means us. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're made from the dirt. We're made from clay, right? And so this has a double meaning. You could mean that you don't have any food in your pots, or it could mean that you have these empty vessels, right, who are going to be as the wings of a dove covered in silver and with feathers of gold. Do you know what that sounds like to me? One, it could mean I'm going from poverty to riches. The other one could mean I'm going from the dirt up in the rapture, and I put on this new body that's gold and silver. Amen? So whether it is interpreted probably more literally as poverty to riches, right, it can also be interpreted as, you know, well, he believed God and now he's dead. But for him, though he be dead, finish it with me, yet shall he live, right? And he's going up in the rapture. He's going up in the resurrection. He's going to put on the new man. He's going to put on his eternal body, gold and silver. And he's going to fly like a dove out of the snare of the fowler. Woo, come on, church. What a day that's going to be. Psalm 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. And You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. Now, anytime you see the right hand of God in the Old Testament, that's Jesus. You can just substitute right hand and just line that out in your Bible if you like to write in. If you don't, don't. And just write Jesus there, because Jesus saves. You know, that's been on the signs dating back to the 50s revivals. Jesus saves. And what does it say? Your right hand shall save me. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, and we will, and I know I'm probably belaboring all this, but these are the verses. And God likes to repeat himself, because sometimes we don't get it the first time we hear it. We need to hear it, and we need to hear it, and we need to hear it. Although I walk, in spite of the fact, well, you look at the facts, yeah. But in spite of the fact, I'm not looking at the facts. Forget the facts. In spite of the facts, though I walk in the midst of trouble, God's going to revive me. He's going to stretch out his hand, and Jesus is going to save me. He may not save you if you're not putting your trust in him. I feel sorry for you, but I put my trust in him in spite of the fact. In spite of the fact. I said in spite of the fact. You may look at my life and say, oh my gosh, man, I can't believe you're not in an institution. I can't believe you hadn't committed suicide with all you've been through. I can't. Well, you know what? I could have, but in spite of the fact, I know God's going to save me. I know God's on the throne, and I know he's going to take care of me. Woo, hallelujah. The world doesn't have this promise, but we got this promise, amen? The world is depressed. They don't have the answer, but we got the answer, because we live by the bedrock of God's word. And if he said it, he'll do it, and if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. That's the God what we serve. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 1:18, come now, and we're familiar with this. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins, plural, all of them, a whole bunch of them, you got them, don't deny it. Probably did something this morning before you got up. Maybe you just had an attitude. Maybe you just rolled your eyes at someone. That's still sin, right? You're still missing the mark unless you're walking like Jesus walked, and I don't know anybody that does but Jesus. We all sin and fall short. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be, not hopefully, shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Man, this is why I go to church. I go to church to be reminded by God's word. Because I sin through the week. I blow it through the week. I have an attitude through the week. I get frustrated through the week. I get impatient through the week. I ask the Lord to help me, and I don't always do what he wants me to do. But though my sins, in spite of the fact that my sins are as scarlet, whoo, white as snow. Aren't you glad that when God looks at us, he looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he says, why, there's Saint Eddie. What? There's Saint Karen. What? She is as white as snow. There's Saint Rick. What? White as snow. I always forget about Steve back there. There's Saint Steve. What? White as snow, right? White as snow. White as the freshly fallen snow. White, so white that the sun blinds you. You know, that snow blindness you get because nothing is, everything is just white and the sun's shining on it and you almost blind you. That's us. That's us, church. That's us. White as snow. Hallelujah. And the world says, but I saw you last week. Well, in spite of the fact, white as snow. Well, I saw what you did. Well, yeah, I did. But in spite of the fact, white as snow. White as snow. White as snow. You call yourself a Christian. White as snow. But I said, white as snow. But what about white as snow? Shut them up. Shut them up. Hey, If getting to heaven depended upon what I could do, Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Amen. But he knew I couldn't make it. He knew none of us could make it. He said, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup. Daddy God said, ain't no other way. Just drink it for the sins of the humanity. And in spite of that, white as snow. Oh, man, let's just thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. White as snow. Thank you, Lord. Although our sins be as scarlet, in spite of the fact that we blow it, white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 14:7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us. I love this one. I really love this one. Do thou it for your name's sake, for our backslidings are many and we have sinned against you. You didn't know that your sins testify against you, did they? See, your sins talk. Hey, it's me, lust. You did it again. Do you see that guy? He's backsliding. He said he wouldn't do it. He did it. Punish him. Although this is happening, it's for his name's sake. You see, Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation, right? It's his name's sake. Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be saved, but my mission is to seek and to save. And it's not predicated on what he does, it's predicated on his faith in me. And so glory to God for his name's sake. Though I don't deserve it, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Daniel, this is a beautiful prayer, and everybody should read this. When we did a series on repentance, we spent some time on this beautiful prayer of repentance by Daniel. And I love how Daniel, who is pretty spiritual, I mean, he's up there spiritually, fasting, praying. He includes himself in this prayer of repentance. You can always tell those mature people because they say, we have sinned against you, Lord. They're not excluding themselves because they know that we all sin. But in the middle of this thing, he says, to the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. And notice he puts the we in there. Though we have rebelled against him. And really, when you think about it, what was the first sin ever recorded? It was Satan's rebellion, wasn't it? You know, he kind of started it all. And rebellion is that root sin of everything. Because anytime we're tempted to do something, the first sin is we rebel against God to go do the sin. And we think the sin was the big sin, but it was the rebellion that started it all. Amen. The minute we say no to God and yes to the devil, we are rebelling against the authority of God. And though we have rebelled against him, although in spite of the fact that we have rebelled against God, God's mercies and forgiveness keep coming our way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for mercies. You know, God's forgiveness and God's mercies go hand in hand. Because, you know, we don't deserve forgiveness, but mercy says you can have it anyway. And so we say, well, in spite of the fact that I rebelled against God and I did this thing, God's mercies and forgiveness are mine. Praise the Lord. Micah 5:2. This is our Christmas verse. Yes, we have Christmas in September. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet of thee he shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. And I wanted to include this in there because God, in spite of the fact, is that Bethlehem was not the capital. Bethlehem was a little town, an insignificant town. And you know what? You may feel little and insignificant. And so, just like God chose Bethlehem for the king to be born. I mean, he's the king of Israel. He's the head of Jerusalem, the capital. It wasn't Jerusalem. It was this little town that was insignificant that Jesus was born in. And although it was this little town, Jesus was born there, who would rule all of the world. And so when we feel small and insignificant, when we feel unimportant and feel like, well, what do I have to offer to God? Remember Bethlehem, because it was little and insignificant, but God chose it, and God chose you. Amen. And now moving into the New Testament, we have Luke 18:7. Jesus is talking about his elect who cry day and night to him, and he's bearing long with them. What does that mean? That means they've been praying a long time for God to avenge them, and he hasn't answered the prayer. And he says, although they do this, God shall avenge his own, in spite of the fact that they've been praying for this for 12 years. I just threw a number in there. That's the implication. God's bearing along with them. You've been praying, and you haven't seen God move. You haven't seen something change. You know, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, in due season you will reap if you faint not. Well, when is due season? Is it 12 years? Is it 24 years? Is it 50 years? Sometimes you can get a little frustrated. Sometimes you can just want to quit and throw in the towel because you've been waiting for decades and you haven't seen it. And he says, but though God is bearing along with you, though it's been a long time, God will come through. Amen. He will come through. Don't give up. It may have been a week. It may have been a month. It may have been a year. It may have been a decade. God will come through. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get weary in well-doing. In due season, in God's season, not mine, not yours, it'll be all right. And, of course, John 11:25, Jesus talking to Martha at the circumstance of Lazarus' death, reminds her that he's the resurrection and life, and he that believes in me, though he were dead, in spite of the fact, you know, some people say, well, that's it, they died, what's the point now? It's over with, you know? It ain't over with. Death is not the end for the child of God. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. I can take you to my grandmother's grave. Though she died, yet she will live. Hallelujah. Your mother, though she died, yet she shall live. Amen. I'm glad that death isn't the end. I'm glad that death doesn't get to put the period at the end of the sentence. I'm death. Pop. It's the end. Nope. Sorry, death. You can't do it. Yeah, that's right. Maybe even a colon. Death, dot, dot. Right? He lived, he died, colon, he rose again. Love Jesus. Beautiful sentence, isn't it? And 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Man, there are some weeks, and I'm the preacher, and I'm admitting this, that I can't wait till Sunday. Because even though I'm preaching it, it's feeding me too. You hear what I'm saying? Kenneth Hagin used to say, preach yourself happy. And I come in sometimes and I'm like just dragging. Oh, Lord, I'm tired. I hope I can get through this, you know. And then by the end of the service, and I'm doing that this morning, I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know if you guys are getting this, but I'm loving it, every minute of it. And these verses are so powerful. It's not my word. It's God's word. It feeds us all. And though our and for which cause sometimes we want to faint, you know, which the King James Bible, that means lose heart, give up, throw in the towel. Like, you know, Lord, when are we going to get more people at the church? All these empty chairs, the same four, same five, same six. You know, and I just, oh, Lord, what a, though our outward man is perishing. But then I come to church on Sunday morning. Brother, quit looking at the empty chairs. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Although in spite of the fact the empty chairs, God is on the throne. In spite of the empty chairs, God's got this. And the church will be filled in God's timing, not ours. Amen? And so praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. Forget it all. God is good. Amen? All the time. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Amen? And this is a great verse, because the in spite of is contrasting Jesus. You know, everything we've talked about contrasted, you know, my thoughts versus God's, my ability versus his, or my valley versus his mountain. But now we're contrasting in spite of the fact that Jesus came poor. He was born in a stable. He rode a donkey. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. All of these things, and in spite of all of this, in spite of all of this, I said in spite of all this, then he was made rich. He was elevated. Amen? And so when we look at the life of Jesus, though he was poor, and then God elevated him through his obedience, then we can say, hey, it's the same for me. And we're not talking about an elevation of like, well, I'm going to have a Rolls Royce, or I'm going to have all this money. We're talking about moving from an area of spiritual poverty, depression, discouragement, despair, to victory. Amen. Victory over the flesh, victory over the devil, victory over hurt, victory over pain. And because of what Jesus did, he went through it, and God elevated him. And in spite of whatever we're going through, God is going to do the same. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. You know, and I'm not here, I'm not in favor of gun control. And I think I might have in the past been misinterpreted as being in favor of gun control. What I'm in favor of is people who put their trust in a gun over God. You hear what I'm saying? Because you will run out of bullets, I promise. If the government takes over, they will have more bullets than you. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have your guns. I'm not bashing guns. My dad was in World War II, and sometimes war is necessary, and sometimes guns are necessary. But when Peter cut off the high priest's ear, he was trying to save Jesus, and Jesus said, those that live by the sword will die by the sword, you know. But when you trust God, then it doesn't matter. And you say, well, what if you're killed? What if they have a gun and you don't have a gun and you're killed? Death is not the end. You know, Jesus, when he knew they were coming to take him to the cross, he told Peter, put your sword away. Peter wanted to defend him. That was family. I'm defending my family. I've got my gun and I'm going to defend my family. He's like, put it away. So I shouldn't defend my... Yes, defend your family. But put your trust in God. Because death is not the end. That death doesn't get the final word. And though he was crucified through weakness, he lives by the power of God. And so God wants us to have an eternal perspective. You know, that doesn't mean we lay down and die. If we have a chance to escape, we escape. David ran from the king when the king was trying to kill him. He didn't just lay down. He prayed God's deliverance and he ran. So you do what you got to do, but you put your trust in the God who saves. Amen. And then he says, for we also are weak in him, but we will live with him by the power of God toward you. And so that word though again, in spite of the fact, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of all that I'm going through, I know that God has got this and that God will take care of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. And we thank you, Lord, that the victory is ours. We know that we won't always understand circumstances that we go through. We won't always know why certain things are happening. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. Our heart will not fear. Though armies camp against us, we know that, Lord, that you're our refuge. You're our place of safety. And though, Lord, even though we may die, yet you are the resurrection and the life. We know that death is not the end, but simply the beginning of our eternal life with you. And so this morning, Lord, I just pray for anyone who may face a challenge this week, a valley of despair, a valley of circumstance, maybe financial, emotional, physical, whatever we may face, that we remember this beautiful word you have put through all of these verses we've looked at, though, although, in spite of. And that would be our vocabulary in the weeks to come as we face challenges. Well, Lord, I know what I'm going through, but in spite of the fact, I'm going to trust you. I know that this is hard, and although it's very difficult, I know that you've got this. And so, Lord, let that word resonate in our spirit, man, in the weeks to come, that it will lift us out of these valleys of despair and help us to maintain our confidence in the God that cannot fail. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a hug before you go.